Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Asperger Studios. My next guest is a psychologist who works with those who have a disability like ASD or ADHD. So sit back, relax, and grab your favorite beverage, and let's learn more about her. See you there.
I wanna believe in the truth, but only see what I'm shown. Got the freedom to choose, but can't decide on my own. Follow what the group is thinking, bottle up my intuition till it's popping out the box that I don't fit in. I wanna believe in the truth, but only see what I'm shown. Got the freedom to choose, but can't decide on my own.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Asperger Studios. Today on the show, I'm joined with Leanne Tran. Welcome to the show, Leanne.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. So why don't you start off with telling me a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is Leanne. That's the place to start. I am a psychologist in Australia, Brisbane in Queensland over here, and I work with children and adolescents who are a lot of the time autistic or have ADHD or both. And I guess I try to focus my role now on helping parents of those kids and teenagers to understand their kids and do things a bit differently, because I think that's a really important way of supporting the children themselves that's often missing. And then outside of my job, I'm a parent of three kids, and we've just recently got a puppy, and I love to read. So, yeah, it's a little bit about me.
No, now you're not autistic yourself or have ADHD, do you?
No, I don't. There is ADHD in my family, but yeah. That's all. So my experience is not lived experience. It's a neurotypical brain trying to live and love a neurodivergent brain, but no lived experience.
So, what got you into working with children who are neurodiverse?
I started out working with kids who had cerebral palsy. That was my first job, and I guess I really related to them in a way, because when I was young, I have a slight physical condition that affects my mobility, and I felt like I really had that empathy going for kids who couldn't quite go do what other children could do, and always felt like they were maybe a little bit different and they couldn't participate fully like other kids could. And that was an experience I really related to. And then it kind of has made me want to work with kids who have that experience of maybe not feeling like they fit in, or wondering why they seem different to other kids. And lots of those kids with cerebral palsy had, maybe some of them were autistic as well, lots had ADHD. And so I wanted to grow my skills, and that's kind of how it went from there.
All right, hang on 1 second. All right. Now, what kind of issues have you seen your clients come to you with?
I think lots of the time it's well, it's interesting, because really the kids are my clients, but it's their parents coming with challenges. And they're usually, it ranges from having challenges with noticing challenges that their child has, like regulating emotions and having meltdowns related to sometimes sensory preferences that aren't well catered for, or just anxiety related to wanting things to be the same and having trouble with quick transitions and all of that kind of stuff. Right through to parents who are saying everything is going okay. We just really want to understand our child and make sure that we're doing everything we can to support them. So it's a very big range.
Now, when you have a parent that comes to you that says, "We want to know if we're doing everything right," how do you go about like going over everything, explaining to them their need, the child's needs, and do you try to get into to find out what sensory issues the child has, what issues he's dealing with, so you and how do you explain that to a way to a parent with no understanding of what autism is?
That's a really good question. We, as psychologists, we have this term called psychoeducation, which is sounds weird, but it's really trying to educate about the psychology of somebody. And so I spend a lot of time talking about autism, what it is. Then we, because it presents differently for every child. So I take the approach where we look at what the individual child is struggling with at the moment. For example, if it's sensory preferences, I'd usually refer to an occupational therapist who might do some assessment to understand those things. Sometimes it's a speech pathologist to help understand language. So how well kids can understand what they're hearing and how well they can express what they need is how I explain it to parents. And then as a psychologist, I guess it's around the emotional side of things. And that's about regulating emotions and I think all kids can learn skills to be able to understand themselves and learn how to help themselves when they're not feeling okay. What each individual child needs is a little bit different, but I think if parents get those main ideas about how they can support their child, then they're informed for the future. And I also say that there's not it's not like a prescription of things you have to do now because your child's autistic. It's usually it's based on what they actually are struggling with and what they need help with. So if they don't have particular sensory difficulties, you don't need to do anything differently. But if they do, then adapting how you do things is going to really help. Hopefully that's answered it in a clear way.
All right. Now, have you had clients who've come, parents come to you with a with their child who is both autistic and ADHD, and how do you help them try to support their child in a way to understand that not only do they have autism, but they also have ADHD, so there are two different kinds of things going on.
Yeah, again, it's about trying to explain what those conditions are, and so how I try and explain it in terms of the brain type that their child has, and it's I think understanding their child goes a long way for parents in then being able to choose the right things to do and understand why some of the traditional parenting strategies don't really work. So we focus a lot on trying to look at what's underneath the behavior that they see at home. And yeah, with ADHD, I guess the differences that come are usually things like it's all about regulation again. So difficulty regulating attention, but then also with emotions and with behavior as well, which is why sometimes there's impulsivity and too much, well, not too much activity according to the parents' view. If parents really understand what's driving their kids' behavior because of what they their brain needs and their body needs, then that's the first step that we go through.
All right. Now, have you had parents come to you saying we don't know what's wrong with our child. We know there he's neurodiverse in some way, but we don't want to acknowledge it as a disability. And how do you get it through their head that, listen, this is a disability. Your child thinks differently than everyone else without really getting into a whole screaming match with them saying your child needs your support.
Usually that's another really good question as well, because it is something that I do get. And I guess I get parents come to me because they maybe we do an assessment because they want to know if their child's neurodivergent. Sometimes they then have trouble making, or not have trouble, but they're not sure whether to disclose it to other people. But then there are some too who don't understand that disability side of it, I guess. And I try and explain it to parents as though then you're putting, it's essentially a mismatch between the child and then what society expects of them that makes that it really affects that ability to do things day to day that other people might just take for granted. So I always try and focus on that functioning part. If your child's having trouble doing the day to day stuff that they should, that I shouldn't say should, but that's expected of them, their life's going to be really difficult. And the easiest way to help them is for you to accommodate how you do things and for the teacher to accommodate how they do things. But to get to that place, you need to understand that it is a disability.
Now, what are some of the joys of working with those who are neurodiverse?
There are so many. one thing I really love is learning a lot from my autistic clients. Whether they're little kids or adolescents, they've always got stuff to teach me. And the last example of that, I think, is that I had I was taking my notes. I use a Remarkable to write my notes, and the client of mine is really interested in computer technology. And was only in primary school, and then he explained to me that the screen refreshes quite slowly, and he was explaining to me it's because of the white ink technology rather than what iPads use. And so then it really helped me understand why I was having problems with it, and I switched to an iPad, and so he made a big difference in my day-to-day life. And he's a kid who is, an average student. Which is great. Average is great, but because of his interest in computer sciences, it's won national awards and things like that. So just that passion for something that leads to learning a lot about it, and then the passion to share it with other people is what I really enjoy.
All right. Now, do you help your clients deal with executive functioning skills as well?
Yeah, I do. I do sometimes. Sometimes they have an occupational therapist that helps with that. But I definitely, in my role, it's definitely about helping assess for those difficulties and for parents to understand it. Executive functioning is one of those things crosses over both ADHD and autism, so it's a pretty common challenge that the kids I work with have. Most of the time, I mean, sometimes I help children with it, but most of the time it's about helping their parents know what to do to support them at home. So, for example, to try to use less language and use some visual support so that kids know what's happening, and some timers to keep things on track. And I think it seems to go a lot better when rather than expect kids to change how they do things, the parents are changing to accommodate for their kids. Teenagers, it's a little bit different. They've maybe got a bit more maturity and skill to be able to learn some things on their own.
Now, what is one of the biggest values a parent would walk away with from working with you?
That's really interesting. I've not really thought about it from that perspective before. I think the one thing I would want to say is I really try and focus on the information about their child so that they can develop a good understanding and empathy for their child. Because I think as a parent, it's parenting is hard, and it's hard to know what to do any time for any parent. But when kids are neurodivergent, it's even harder. So I think with the empathy, it really leads to a lot more patience in parenting. So I guess it's maybe more of a mindset change is the first thing. But then also some really practical things to actually do day to day is the other part.
Now, when you're working with a parent, you had mentioned less wording and stuff. Do you also talk about positive affirmations? Like instead of saying you're obsessed with something, you can say, oh, that's your special interest or anything like that line. So it's more of a positive reinforcement instead of a negative one.
Yeah, yes. I think with that interest, it's that's something that often comes in to work around behavior or emotional regulation as well, because of that, if there's a mismatch between how parents are approaching it and what kids want, that's when the behavior can happen. So yeah, it's often about reframing it as though this is a really it's definitely a strong interest, not an obsession. It's something that can often help kids, feel calm and regulate. Got many who like to instead of deep breathing, like psychologists might normally suggest, they want to go and play with their Mario figurines or something. Yeah, so it's definitely about spinning it around to affirming kind of affirming language that has that positive connotation and strength based as well.
Now, have you had parents come with you and say their son or daughter has been diagnosed with autism, and then working with them, you realize it's not autism, it's actually ADHD, but it's masking as autism because they share the same traits?
Sometimes it's ADHD, or sometimes it's something else as well. But yeah, that can happen. In our practice, we try to, yeah, so that can happen if they come to me first. In our practice, that's why we try and do things in a sequential way as well. So if it seems like a child has ADHD, that's usually diagnosed first, and then if as that becomes managed, sometimes what parents would call autistic traits seem to become more prominent, or they notice them more. But sometimes then they aren't there anymore, because really it was just that difficulty with regulation.
Okay. Now, what are some of the challenges you have faced working with parents of neurodiverse children?
I think one of the biggest challenges for me is when parents have a closed view about what's happening with their kids, and it's often because there are behaviors happening that they don't like, and they just if they are trying to take a really firm approach about the behavior, but not understanding their child and what their child needs, I find that really difficult. Because I love kids. I love working with kids, but and I know that when, they're not independent, they rely on their family. And so if they are in a situation where they're relying on people who don't want to acknowledge their needs and support that, I find that really difficult to handle because they go home and I know they're going into a place where they don't feel seen and supported and loved, but they can't live on their own because they're 8 years old or have needs that make it difficult to be independent. And I find that really hard to get my head around.
All right. Now, how can we help parents feel more confident in advocating for their children?
I think we're still trying to break down a bit of stigma around having difficulty with or being concerned about your child. There's still a bit of a stigma that it might mean that you're not a good parent or that you're not doing things right. And sometimes there's that's a parents need to can feel really vulnerable to share that with somebody else. But my advice is to always seek help when you feel overwhelmed, because as a person on the other side, psychologist, all I see is a parent coming to try to do what's best for their child. And I think that even if everything is okay, and the parent says, or the psychologist says, look, I think there's no real challenge here. What you're experiencing is pretty typical. They can still help you feel better about the parenting. Yeah, I can't remember the other part I was going to say about that. Oh, that's right, because I think it's really difficult for parents to know whether they should get help or not, because often their child is their only experience of a child, and they don't know if what's happening is what's happening with everybody else, or whether they do really need someone else's assistance to manage. So I think it's always worth checking that with somebody else if you have any concerns at all.
And lastly, what advice do you have for parents who are just realizing that their son or daughter is autistic and want to advocate for them? What advice would you give them?
I think, yeah, definitely do. Don't back down. Advocate, whether that starts with coming, taking your child to see somebody for an assessment to understand their needs. That's a great thing to do because all autistic people are different. So the assessment's a really important part of understanding your particular child. So I would advocate for that. And then really, I would say that the fastest way to, or the best way to help your child is by the people in their life changing what they do. So, yeah, keep advocating for the school to do things differently to meet your child's needs and advocate with whatever professionals you're seeing to make sure that they're getting, that they're providing what your child needs. And what my experience of talking with people too who have had that experience when they were young and are now adults have been really grateful that their parents have always helped them. It's kind of changes the path that people go down, and that's a really powerful thing. So yeah, definitely be loud about it.
And finally, where can people find out more about you on the web and get in touch with you?
Yeah, my website's probably the best way. So it's leannetran.com.au. Or I have a podcast as well. It's called Parent Like a Psychologist. Or on Instagram or YouTube, I post snippets from the podcast as well. So there's lots of free information for parents about various different things. Otherwise, I have courses for parents as well via the website, and people are welcome to join for those things, to work directly with me if that's something they're interested in.
And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Reid Miles. That was Leanne Tran. I'll see you in the next one. Thanks, Leanne. That was a good show.
Thank you.